heard it here first, the Packers transitioning to a ground-and-pound run-first offense. Because it's a strong class of running backs, so the Packers are going to pick one of them, and then they're going to ground-and-pound their way to a Super Bowl.
In some alternate planet.
Yeah, what universe do you live in?
Air It Out is on the air.
Packers like to air it out, but they do have a need at running back, and it is a strong class of running backs in the NFL draft. We're joined now by Rob Rang from CBSSports.com. Rob, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You bet.
Good morning.
So, Rob, your latest mock draft released this week. You've got the Packers at number 29 picking a running back. Delvin Cook was mentioned as a top 10 pick once upon a time. Didn't have a great combine, but sitting there at 29, you think that'd be hard for Green Bay to pass up?
I do. I think that any time that Ted Thompson is able to add a running back with a talent that Delvin Cook is going to have to consider it. I think that this is going to be perceived as a bit of a luxury pick, and frankly, in some ways, maybe it is. I mean, we all know that the offense is still built around Aaron Rodgers and the passing attack, but that's one of the reasons why I love the possibility of Dalvin Cook in Green Bay, is that he is not just a dynamic runner. He is an excellent receiver out of the backfield. And if he is available at that late portion of the first round, and I think that there is a possibility of that because he is slipping a little bit due to workouts, due to off-field issues, due to medical issues. But at the same time, he has not missed much time while at Florida State due to injuries or suspensions or anything of that nature. And his production speaks for itself. If you want to replace the back as gifted but as inconsistent as Eddie Lacy was, then why not find the most consistent running back in the draft? That would be Dalvin Cook.
Rob, rookie here, and I've gone on record as saying that I will fall out of my chair onto the ground here in the studio if the Packers pick a running back with their first-round pick. And I understand everything you're saying, but when you see that what they've done offensively with the tight ends, what they're doing with Ty Montgomery, and he might not be the ideal situation as a running back for the Packers, but they've tweaked the offense. But when you see what happened to that defense over the course of the year and that NFC Championship game, I don't know how you can't think that they go with the best defensive player available at 29.
I think that that's the most likely scenario. I mean, when you look at the Packers, they're a team that still needs edge rush help. And no question, it could use some help at cornerback. And those happen to be two of the strongest positions in this year's draft class. So I absolutely agree with what you're saying, but it's the depth at those positions that might allow the Packers to wait until the second or third round if an exceptional talent happens to fall into your lap. And so that's the variable that I'm trying to expound upon here. With the Packers, it's just that we all know that there's going to be players, there's going to be some surprises undrafted, there's going to be some runs on certain positions and things of that nature. The talented corner and a talented edge rusher is so impressive that the players you're likely to have available to you in the second or third rounds are going to be pretty similar to what the Packers are actually going to be seeing at number 29 overall. And that's not necessarily the case at running back. There's four running backs this year. Obviously, Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, and Joe Mixon as well, that are exceptional first-round talents all day long in every single draft. At least they should be in today's pass-happy NFL, where you can throw the ball, of course, to the backs as often as they do. That said, there are closer to 10 cornerbacks and 10 edge rushers who deserve first or early second-round consideration. And because of that depth, and because Ted Thompson has been so willing to make some surprising picks over the years. And I think that is a possibility and one that, again, we should be kind of expounding upon at least a little bit.
Well, Rob, at the end of the year, Mike McCarthy had said, or maybe he said it at the combine, but he had talked about the two most important positions on the field, outside of quarterback, of course, are the guys who rush the quarterback and the guys who defend the passes, rushers and corners. So that being said, and the problems they had there, is what's leading us all to believe that that's the way they have to go. Plus, you add in the fact, as you just pointed out, the depth of those positions in this draft. So I think we'd all be mildly surprised, if they took an offensive player of any kind with that 29th pick. And maybe a little disappointed as well.
Well, I mean, I'm disappointed. It certainly is understandable. Just because, again, I recognize that defense is the thing that's held back Green Bay over the last couple of years from getting back to the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, and so I think that makes some sense. So, and if we just kind of look at some of the edge rushers who are available, and this is one of the points I wanted to make sure I talk with you guys is, you know, go to corners and edge rushers if you like, but look at the edge rushers. So you have a Tack McKinley. We all know that the UCLA defensive players have not done as quite as well as expected in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's a possibility that he may not be on the board. The Carl Lawson, you know, doesn't have the height that you're looking for. Taco Charlton has all of the height, has all the traits, but at the same time has not really progressed as hoped throughout his career. Questions about his willingness to take hard coaching. So there's a little bit of a question mark behind most of the edge rushers. Like corners, on the other hand, I'm a big fan of Marlon Humphrey from Alabama, but we've seen the Alabama corners haven't done quite as well in the past. I think that Demarius Randall, who of course plays safety, it gives you some possibilities at the corner. That was a position that he played a little bit while at Arizona State. So I don't know that the cornerback is quite as dire of a need as it perhaps looks, just because of the fact that you've been playing against competition in the NFC North that throws the ball as often as they do. But, you know, there's been an interesting change this offseason. Detroit clearly is trying to run the ball a little bit more with the improvement that they've made along the offensive line. The Minnesota Vikings, of course, are going to be looking to run the ball more. You know, just the fact that, you know, you have Teddy Bridgewater is coming back from the injury. Sam Bradford is not going to be the deep passing team that maybe the perception of them was. And of course, Chicago Bears moving on from Jay Cutler. They're not going to be throwing the ball. So I think it comes back down to trying to make sure that you're prepared to handle the opponents in your division. And so that's why I think that Green Bay will be looking at all opportunities and all possibilities that first selection.
Rob Rang, CBSSports.com here on The Fan. Rob, I'm with you. We've talked about the corner position, and you watched the NFC Championship. You saw that it was a position of weakness last year, but you got to remember, Ladarius Gunter, Demarius Randall, Quentin Rollins all just finished their second year, so it's not like they're just the cupboard's bare with young talent to develop. That being said, at 29, if you start to look edge rusher and you see these names, people around here familiar with T.J. Watt from Wisconsin, you've got Tyus Bowser, who, if there's a better name than T.J. Watt in the draft, it's Tyus Bowser, and he plays the same position. So those guys into the equation for the Packers at 29?
Oh, I think they should be, you know, especially with Watt. Watt's a player who I think his career is, you know, he's just starting, basically. I mean, we saw this is a former tight end, and I don't have to tell you guys. I mean, you guys know all about Watt with him basically in your backyard. But I think that he makes a lot of sense. And so if he is available to them, I think that he is probably one of the more likely scenarios for them. Again, with the, you know, a little bit of a surprise pick with the running back in the first round trying to shake things up. But at the same time, I think the edge rusher is a concern. T.J. Watt makes a lot of sense. But with Bowser, on the other hand, I don't think that he is quite as the instinctive player. There's no question he's a phenomenal athlete. We all saw that on tape. We all saw that during the workout sessions. But I have some real reservations about his ability to be able to come in and play in a fairly complicated scheme that we've seen a lot of young edge rushers for Green Bay, frankly, not live up to expectations. Bowser, to me, is one of the real boomer bust prospects in this draft class. So, in my opinion, if you were talking about specifically those two, T.J. Watt, I have is significantly higher on my board than Bowser. I think that he has at least a little bit more of a higher ceiling, a higher floor. As far as I don't think that he has the bust factor that Bowser might be. And a lot of people might be surprised by that, considering that Watt essentially was a one-year wonder with the Badgers.
Rob, let me ask you this. It doesn't seem like anybody's overly impressed, let's say, with the quarterbacks in the draft, but it always seems like teams get a little, I don't know, scared, reachy, let's say, for a QB because we know the importance. What is the likelihood of maybe that happens a little bit before the Packers pick at 29 that teams start getting a little quarterback leery or needy and start picking them and push some more talent down to Green Bay?
I think it's a very good possibility. I'm happy you mentioned it. So it's one of the reasons why I think that there is a possibility that you're going to have a talented offensive player that might fall down into your lap. It's because there's a couple of teams drafting right ahead of Green Bay that I think are going to be very much be in play for quarterbacks Certainly the Houston Texans, and we all know them and their needs with the Brock Osweiler selection and the fact that Tony Romo just retired. I think that's a possibility at number 25 overall. And then the Kansas City Chiefs as well. I mean, this is a club that, you know, you know that Alex Smith, that you basically you know what he is at this point. So I personally think that Deshaun Watson would be a perfect, you know, protege, to be able to build behind, Alex Smith in Kansas City. So I think there is a possibility that the Green Bay Packers are able to take advantage of some of these quarterback needy teams who might be looking to drop one of these players. And then, of course, you know, in the top three, top five, you have all kinds of quarterback desperate teams. The Cleveland Browns, you know, number one, number 12 overall, they're very likely to select a quarterback. And, you know, I personally see the three quarterbacks as worthy of a first round consideration this year. That being Mitchell Trubisky from North Carolina, who is my personal top rated quarterback because he is the most accurate quarterback in this draft class. Not only in the pocket, but also on the move. And then Deshaun Watson, we also saw what an impressive performer he is amid the bright lights, the national championship games, the combine as well. And then Patrick Mahomes from Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. He's the player that everybody's buzzing about right now. And I think all three of those guys are going to wind up going in the first round. And I think they're likely to be off the board by the top 25. And if that is indeed the case, because I don't know that any of them, frankly, warrant first-round consideration in a crop as talented on the defensive side of the ball as this one is, it is going to push some very interesting talent into Green Bay's lap.
Any chance the Bears take a QB at three?
I think there is a more of a possibility there than a lot of people want to say. You know, obviously they made the big move to get Mike Glennon, but that can be broken down to essentially a 1 or 2 year deal.
Right.
You know, and so it's not the huge risk that it's perceived to be. You know, the Bears are doing their due diligence, and they're working on all these quarterbacks and everything like that. I will say this. John Fox's track record of drafting quarterbacks is abysmal. And so I don't know that this is the class that he is going to try to roll the dice and change his record in that regard, especially when he's positioned to be able to add a defensive playmaker. I think that Jamal Adams at number 3 overall makes all of the sense in the world. They really need a sheriff in the secondary.
Rob, I know we're going a little over on time, but I just learned how to pronounce this guy's name, and the Packers have a need at the position because Micah Hyde left, but a versatile corner from Colorado, Chidobe Awuzie, and he looks like he makes a lot of sense for the Packers. How good do you think he is? What part of the draft is he going to come off the board?
I think that he should be in play for Green Bay in the first round. You know, and I think that a lot of the country is kind of sleeping on him, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, this is a player who has extensive experience, 4-year starter at the outside corner position, slides inside to nickel, you know, an obvious passing down, which we know there's lots of passing downs in the Pac-12. He is among the most reliable open field tacklers of this year's cornerback class. He has good length, not elite length, but I just think that is one of the things that the people are going to fixate on and convince themselves that maybe they should get a toolsier player. You know, I mentioned you know, the kid from Alabama, Marlon Humphrey, before. As a redshirt sophomore, he has all the talent in the world, but, you know, he still is very inexperienced in comparison to a player like Awuzie. I feel very confident that Awuzie, if he's not selected in the first round, and he's going to be drafted within the first 10 or 15 picks of the second round, he's going to ultimately outplay some of these corners. Get a sharp eye there. That's one of the players I think makes a lot of sense for Green Bay.
Awesome. A much more easy name to pronounce than Awuzie is Rob Rang, CBSSports.com. Appreciate your time today, Rob.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it.
NFL draft 3 weeks from tomorrow.
Awuzie. He's a buff.
He's a buff, and he makes it easy how to pronounce his first name, Chidobe. You can use Cheetah as a substitute, he said. You call him Cheetah.
Call him Cheetah? That would be good.
Because he runs really fast.
And Cheetah kind of sounds like Chidobe. Right?
Chidobe.
Chidobe doobie walk.
Cheetah?
That's right.
Awuzie. Awuzie. It's like a fence right there.
How do you spell that?
A-W-U-Z-I-E.
A-W-U-Z-I-E. Wow, I love it.
Awuzie.
Looks more like a woozy, but Awuzie.
Yeah. So there you go, possibility. I think he said I have a sharp eye there.
If he gets drafted by the Packers, Awuzie could endorse the Anduzis.
Oh, my gosh. People helping people here on Air It Out.